Jesus said the devil works hard at removing the Word of God from your heart as soon as you hear it. In today's podcast, we'll take a look at the strategies he uses to do that.
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Verse 4, some seeds fell on the path and the birds came and ate it up. Birds like to eat seeds. Birds are a problem for farmers. If you put a seed on the sidewalk, you don't get a harvest, you just attract birds. So what does that part mean? What do the birds represent in this parable? Jesus tells us, verse 15, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. Immediately Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. So the birds in the story represent Satan. They represent Satan. Whenever God's word is preached, right now, God's word is being preached. I'm telling you God's word. And as soon as God's word is preached, that immediately starts the spiritual warfare. Every time. When you try to encourage a friend from the Bible, you share a scripture with a friend, you try to encourage him from God's word, immediately, Satan kicks into action. When somebody tries to share God's word with you, speaks the word to you, immediately Satan springs into action. When you read your Bible, you get up in the morning and you read your Bible, Satan jumps in right away and tries to take that seed away out of your heart as quick as he can. And some people have hearts like sidewalks when it comes to receiving God's word. You hear a sermon, you read your Bible, whatever, it just lands on the surface of your heart and it's just easy pickings for Satan to come and snatch it, take it away. It's like a bird picking up a seed. People like this, with sidewalk hearts, they hear a point in a sermon and they think, that's interesting. And that's the last they ever think about it. They listen with their ears, but not with their heart. They have ears, but they don't hear with their ears. They have excellent hearing in their physical ears, but their hearts are deaf. Their hearts are deaf. How many times has your mind wandered already? And I haven't even been up here that long. Here's why it's so hard. Because a very, very powerful being is working his hardest to confuse you. Satan is at work. This is spiritual warfare every time the word is preached. Let's just think for a minute about how Satan does it. How does Satan manage to pluck the word out of your heart right after you hear it? Well, his favorite method, I think, is through confusion. If he can just keep you from understanding it, just prevent you from understanding it so then it'll never sink into your heart if you just don't get it, if it doesn't connect with other things that you know to be true. And this is one reason why it's important for us preachers to be clear, right? We should be clear. There's nothing worse than a preacher who's trying to show off how many seminary words he knows. Everyone goes away thinking, wow, that guy's brilliant. He's brilliant. What was the sermon about? I have no idea. But boy, was he ever brilliant. Well, that's no good, right? That's useless. So we need to be clear as preachers, but that's not the point Jesus is making here. He's not talking about how the sower should sow the seed. He's talking about soils. The focus is on the listener here. The reason the seed doesn't penetrate the hard soil is because it's not because of the sower, it's because of the soil. It's because of the heart. It's not the preacher or the message, it's the condition of the listener. Very frequently you hear people complain about dull preachers. Oh, that guy's boring. But Jesus, he never really warns us in the Bible about watch out for boring preachers. He doesn't do that. Many times, however, he warns us about being dull listeners. Dull preachers aren't the problem nearly as much as dull listeners. How many times have people driven away from a church complaining about how the preaching was bad, not realizing that God was displeased with them because the listening was bad? You're trying to listen to the sermon and all of a sudden you're just like, what's that humming sound? Is that air conditioner? We left the air conditioner on. What is that? What's going on? Didn't the piano used to be here in the front of the room? Now it's back there. What happened? Or look, oh, somebody's walking across the room. Ooh, I better watch. Oh no, I just remember I forgot to pay that bill. Is that a spot on the preacher's tie? All these distractions all the time, the whole sermon. Why is all that going through your mind? Spiritual warfare. Satan is here now, right now, in this room, hard at work, trying to snatch the Word of God right out of your heart before it sinks in. This is where he works, because he knows if he doesn't accomplish that, if you sit there and let the word of God sink into your heart, then Satan's got a world of trouble with you now, because he'll never get that word out of there. So he tries to confuse you. He tries to distract you. Another thing Satan does is he tries to keep your focus on other people instead of yourself, right? Oh, I wish my son were here to hear this sermon. He really needs to hear this. And so does Sally, and so does Jim, and so does... And you're thinking of everybody that needs to hear, except for yourself. You know, us teachers, we're really bad at this. If you're a teacher, you sit and you listen, and there's, ooh, that was a good point. I'm going to jot that down and share it with my Bible study group. And, you know, and everything just goes from your ear right back out, and it never goes into your heart. You're so concerned about everyone else getting it that you don't think through how it applies in your own life. That's a method that Satan uses. Another one Satan will use is he'll take the word out of your heart through defensiveness. There's something, some convicting thing in the sermon, something that if you gave it serious thought, it would expose a sin in your heart that you'd have to deal with and maybe make a change. And so what happens? Your inner lawyer chimes in. Right? All of a sudden, you're just like justifying. All your mental energy is focused on defending yourself. Well, I'm not so bad. I'm not as bad as such. And I really, it's justified because of this and that. And you're putting so much energy into that that there's no room to just absorb and submit to the word and repent and change. Another tool Satan will use is antagonism. I don't like that preacher. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like this. I don't like it. He didn't talk to me. He ignored me. He did blah, 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 and whatever. And so I'm not going to listen. Another method Satan uses to snatch the word out of your heart is familiarity with the word. Sometimes an over-familiarity word. So you've heard a passage so many times. You've heard the parable of the sower all your life. You've heard it so many times. You think, I already know that. And so your heart stops listening. It's like, oh yeah, I got that. I got that. And so the preaching of God's word or some element of the scripture ends up being like the noise of your refrigerator running. After a while, your ears just tune it out because it's so familiar. When we do that, it's our very familiarity with the truth that robs the truth of its power to really change us. We don't attend to it. We don't give it serious thought because we think we already know everything there is to know about that particular truth, which is never the case. That's never the case. We're spiritually hard of hearing. And here's the thing to remember. When he steals the truth out of your heart, he leaves it in your mind. He doesn't steal it out of your mind. It stays there in your mind. So that now whenever you hear it, you're like, oh yeah, I know that. I know that. It's in my mind. But the power of the seed has been removed from the center of who you are so that it's no longer in a position to change you and to produce life and joy. Another method Satan uses is apathy. The word doesn't sink into some people's hearts because they just don't care. They just don't care. They aren't interested in being changed by God's word. They're happy to just stay the way they are. I've always been this way. I'm going to stay this way. And they listen to preaching because they want to be intrigued or they want to be entertained or amused or whatever, but not changed. They're like the people of Ezekiel's time in Ezekiel 33:30, where it says, your countrymen are saying to each other, come and hear the message that has come from the Lord. This is what they're saying. Come, let's go listen. Let's go hear Ezekiel preach. My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you and listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. Indeed, to them you are nothing but more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words but do not put them into practice. They just want to come and be entertained. And that brings us to the last one. It's the last method that Satan uses that I thought of. Inaction. You hear the word, but you don't put it into practice. James says every time we do that, we deceive ourselves. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. If every time you hear the word and you don't do it, you deceive your brain. You damage your brain. You damage your own mind. Jesus said those who listen but they don't put it into practice are like people who build a house on sand, and when the storm of life comes, it's just destroyed. Falls with a great crash, Matthew 7. So when you hear the word, when you hear a principle from God's word, and you don't put it into practice, it remains vulnerable. It's sitting on top of the sidewalk of your heart, right up there on the surface. But when you put it into practice, that pulls it down into the soil of your heart where Satan can't get to it. So rule number 4 on how to listen to God. Don't be a sidewalk. Don't be a sidewalk. Don't be the path. What could possibly be more devastating to your spiritual life than your heart becoming hard against the Word? People who do that become gospel proof. They're gospel proof. They can't penetrate. And when that happens, our only hope is to do what God called the people to do in Jeremiah's time, Jeremiah 4:3. This is what the Lord says: break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns. Put on sackcloth, lament and wail. Return to me, declares the Lord. He says, plow that hard path of a heart that's so crusted over. Plow it up. How do you plow it up? Repentance. Repentance. Turning back to the Lord. Plow up your heart through repentance. Make it soft so when God speaks to you, your heart can take it in, receive it, and be filled with joy and life.
Which of Satan's strategies do you see most at work in your heart? Confusion? Focusing on the application for others instead of for yourself? Defensiveness? Antagonism or bitterness? Familiarity? Apathy? Or inaction? For me, I think the biggest problem is inaction. And I think the reason is busyness. I've got so many things going. Once I learn something from Scripture, I tend to think, wow, that's a really great truth. And I think about it for a few seconds, and then I'm off to my next thing that I need to get done. And I do that before I've taken the time to make plans for how I'm going to put that amazing truth into practice. Learning something new is fun. Making specific plans on how to put it into practice is work. And skipping that step is what leads me, very often, into hearing but not doing. I need to build more time into my routine for that. What about you? What changes do you need to make to avoid having a sidewalk heart?
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? A simple post on social media can change a person's day. This season, the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the Gospel of Mark, over 130 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.